we've made a brief, and I want to highlight there, a brief yes. case for biblical church membership, and that every church should have some sort of process for membership. And then secondly, last episode, we just considered the necessary requirements of church membership, sort of the nitty-gritty, what is required of individual members of a local church. But in this episode, we're going to get super practical, focusing on a practical process for church membership. And so we're going to be looking at this topic from the angle of what we do here at Countryside Bible Church. Now, let me say that through the 40 years mm-hmm. that Countryside yep. has been a church, there has been several maybe processes for church membership. And I would say, and you can speak to this, actually, we sort of worked together mm-hmm. sort of on this changing the process about 5 years ago yeah. at this point. But yeah. I would say that over and through the years, the church membership process, the practical side of it, has changed or has morphed or modified for several reasons. I don't think we need to go through them here, but that's how we're going to look at this particular episode from the angle of Countryside and what we do here.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I would just say before we start into this, like you said, this is what we do at Countryside. You know, we are a certain size church in a certain location in a certain country. And if this particular process or pieces of the process don't work for your local church, don't try and mimic them for no other reason than we do them here, right? This is not a gospel, right? This is just a process for membership. But what I hope we can try, and Lance, you can help remind me, is to try and kind of pull out the themes and the principles behind what we do. Because I think over the 40 years of our church, you know, at least the 20 years I've been here, the principles of why we did membership, the way we did membership have always been there. We've just had to change how that worked. You know, when you have three people trying to be members versus 30, right? Like those things just kind of create difficulties. And so again, applying this to other contexts, other churches, other cultures, whatever, take the principles from scripture of what we're trying to accomplish, and you know, the details can be whatever they need to be. Does
yeah,
that make sense?
Yeah, that's right. You know, our theological convictions, you know, are still there. Church membership has been crucial through the life of this church for several decades, right? But sort of the practical implications and how to have those theological truths outworked in terms of church membership process have changed. So I don't want to convey that we were just winging it before right, this new right. system that we put, yeah. you know, put into place the last 5 years. But I think you nailed it when you said, hey, look, here's the church size, here's the church context, here's the church staff, here's what we're able to do now and should do because of X, Y, and Z, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think just kind of keeping that in mind and saying, all right, what, you know, what are we trying to accomplish here and what are some ways that we can do that, right?
Yeah, and I would say before you move forward here, but we are trying to articulate and advocate that you do have some sort of yes. process, not, oh, you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, that's great. You are a member of our church. Like yes. in one sense, it really is that simple.
It's almost that simple.
Right? But yep. we are wanting some sort of process put in place to talk about and do what we've talked about on previous episodes. Yeah. So we're not going to rehash all that.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, so going back to episode one, right? The definition of church membership, that we have some kind of formal commitment between these people that are a local church together. Okay. How do we do that in such a way that I know who the members are, you know who the members are, I know that I'm a member or I'm not a member, right? Like we need to have some sort of a process that the leadership, the elders of the church can look at and say, okay, we know who our flock is and who is not, right? And so what's the process we do? And again, as formal as you want to do this, you want to use all kinds of, you know, internet gadgets, you want to use paper and pencil, that stuff, it doesn't matter, right? You just want to have some kind of a formal process to where you can know that the people that are in your church are not. You know, one of the things that we start out first is, you know, the commitments. I think this actually goes back to episode one. We talked about briefly the commitments of the local church, what you're signing up for when you become a member. Real quickly, we have them listed as support of the church as a whole. And we kind of break that down into, you know, consistent attendance, and we have ways to do that. Prayer for the church, and then, of course, giving. We talked about that last time. The second thing is support, you know, first, support of the church. Second, submission to the church leadership. I know we talked about that already. Mm-hmm. And then three, ministry to others in the church. And we talked about that, you know, meeting needs and having needs met. You know, you can do that more formally by being a part of certain ministries. You can do that informally just by having relationships with people in the church. But those are kind of the key core commitments of someone wanting to be a member.
Yeah, well, now that you've given that sort of brief review, let's sort of set in motion here what this practical process looks like. So first off, just sort of divide up the types of membership or that we offer. What does that look like in terms of the types of membership that we have?
So this is a good thing to talk about. So different kinds of churches, different denominations view this differently, right? Are my kids members? You know, I have a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old. They have not been baptized as, you know, credible profession believers. So are they members under me? Are they not members? What are they, right? And so our church, we've simplified that, and we've basically just said we have adult members. And then we have kind of a subcategory where we recognize youth members who are that almost 18. So for us, adult members is 18 and up, and they've gone through our formal membership process. We have a category for youth members who are kind of pushing that 18. They're 15, 16, 17 years old. They have a credible profession of faith. They've been baptized in our church, and now they're ready to go ahead and go and be a formal member. We have a few exceptions of what their membership looks like compared to the adult membership, but we have that classification for those. And then for the rest of us who have these little kids running around in the nursery and kids Sunday school, we're saying, no, they're classified under your family profile in the database, but they don't have any kind of membership status at this point, right?
Yep. Okay. That's good. And we understand that different churches are going to land, you already said it, right? So we understand that different churches are going to land on different places on that issue.
Yep.
We are advocating for thinking through that issue, coming to a biblical conviction, and really how that works itself out in the local church.
Yes. And I would say with that, you need to think fundamentally, you know, one, what does the Bible say? From that, what are the theological implications for how we do membership if we let people down to age 12, 10, whatever, you know, but why? Well, again, if we're talking about biblical church membership, they need to be Christians who have been baptized and all those things we already talked about. But then also think beyond that, just practically, all right, what does it mean if I have a church and I have 100 members in my church and 50 of them are under the age of 18? What does that do? And do I need to think through anything else practically on how the church works if that's going to be how it works, right? And so just trying to understand and think through those things carefully. This is where we've landed at Countryside.
Yeah, that's great. So let's begin talking about the membership process at Countryside. And here I just want to start at the very beginning, right? If I walk into Countryside and I've been attending the church on a regular basis on the Lord's Day for maybe several weeks or several months, I've, you know, assessed the doctrinal statements and the distinctives and the Constitution because we've made all of that available, and I am completely convinced that this is what I want to call my church home, right? What do I do?
Yeah.
How do I move the ball forward?
Yeah. Well, I would say what you just described to me is an ideal scenario, right? That the person has been attending for a while and is aware of what they're signing up for, right? I'll jump even further back from that. You know, we have people come first week, they hear Tom preach and they're like, I'm in. What do I do? They've been here, you know, they've been here an hour. And if I get the chance to talk to them, I'll say, hey, I'm so excited. I want you to be excited. I want you to be here. Keep coming back. Start building relationships. Try out some of these different ministries and make sure that this is really where you want to be. And let's build a relationship with you. Make sure this is a good fit for you to be here, right? And not push them into ministry, into membership, rather, immediately. Let them kind of stew on it for a minute. But at the same time, you know, we have announcements at the beginning of our corporate worship, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes of just some reminders. And probably once a month, once every other month, I'll stand up there and I'll say, hey, we've got a membership class coming up. If you call this your church home and you haven't been a formal member here, you need to do that, right? Our elders want you to do that. And so I hope that's kind of convicting some of those people that have been here, you know, a year or two or five or 20, and they've never been an official member to you know, trigger their mind, hey, I need to do this. So back to your question, you know, Generals is a four-step process. So we have an application, we have membership class, we have a membership interview, and then we have a membership introduction. Those are kind of our four big keys. So you come to me, hey, I'm ready to be an official member. I'm going to tell you to go to our church website and fill out the membership application. So we used to do them on paper. That is one of my great victories in my life as I moved us from paper applications to doing them on the website.
That's what all your seminary training.
Yeah, that was the pinnacle right there. I'm never gonna have anything else. But so we go on the website, fill out a membership application. It's a little bit long, but I'll tell you why. So the first section, super simple contact info. Hey, how long you've been coming here? You know, who do you work for? You know, do you have a wife, kids, you know, all that stuff, and just kind of who you are. Okay. The middle section, which this is the big section, is your testimony. And like we said in the last couple episodes, membership is all about Christians joining together. This should not be a surprise. I hope when someone opens a membership application, we want to say, hey, tell us your testimony, right? So we ask them to explain the gospel. We ask them to explain when they were converted, you know, when they came to be saved from their sin. We ask them, this is one of my favorite questions, by the way, what would you say if God said, why should I let you into heaven? And again, I've gotten all kinds of funny answers to that because that's not a biblical question, right? We don't think that God's actually going to stand at the door and be like, hey, you know, Lance, why should I let you in? But for believers, this is such a clarifying question. Say, yeah, what do I put my hope in when I get to heaven? Is it, man, I was a good person? Well, that's a problem. If it's Christ alone, right? He is the one, he's the reason I'm here. And that tells me something. And then we walk through, you know, what change have you seen in your life since your conversion? And then like we talked about last time, baptism, have you been baptized? Or if you haven't been, are you willing to be baptized here at Countryside? The last piece of the application, and then I'll let you kind of ask some clarifying questions here or whatever, is, you know, have you ever been church disciplined out of a church? And I'm not trying to dig into anybody's personal lives here, but I'm just saying if you are running away from a good, biblical, healthy church down the road and you're trying to come here and hide, I want to know that. And we need to talk to the elders of your church and we need to work this out. I need to know that. Or if that was in your past a long time ago and you've been reconciled and restored to your church and now you're moving across the country for some reason, that's a legitimate thing for our elders to know just so we can shepherd you and again, make any contact with your previous church that we need to. And then kind of the last section of questions there is how you heard about the church, why you want to come here and why you want to be a member. I would say 95% of the time on the application, nobody says anything there that surprises me. Oh, I heard about Countryside from my brother-in-law and we started attending and we want to be members because of all the reasons we've talked about these last couple episodes. But every now and then somebody will surprise me, you know, and tell me how they heard. And it was from just some crazy story of how they heard about us. Or, you know, they'll tell us, man, I just am so convicted that I want to be a biblical church member. And so I want to do that here and all those things. And I love reading that, you know, membership application day is the best day of the month, man. You get to read all these stories of people being saved and wanting to be a part of the church. It's good.
Right. So all of that information is helpful. So what we are trying to advocate for and what we've articulated in the membership process is that when you apply, I mean, based on this list, there's about 10 different items, key items that we are wanting to know as this process is unfolding. And again, I think this is sort of that transparency that we're talking about. Mm. Look, here are all of our documents. Here's what we believe. Here's how we do church on Sunday morning. Now we need to know about you. And again, it's not to just get up in your business and that we're going to be looking over your shoulder every step that you walk on our campus. But this is part of that shepherding, that overseeing, trying to help and navigate you in your Christian life in connection with with the local church. So just thinking practically about this, Joshua, it made me think of, you know, running through my head is all the different ways that I can get to the application part. I'm thinking just super like practical, not really even theological here, but yeah. I know that if I open up the attendance pad in corporate worship on Sunday morning and I write my name, my wife's name down and kids, because we were there, right? We take attendance at this church, yes, right?
That's helpful for me.
We do. But there's also a box that I can check that says that I'm interested about membership, yep, and all of those things. And so then there's just really getting your foot in the door. I want more information about church membership. Another practical way, like you've already mentioned, is that during morning announcements before corporate worship actually begins, you, Tom, Jonathan, at least once a month is what you're saying. If I yeah. recall, maybe once or twice a month, you guys are making a point to say, hey, look, if you've been coming on a regular basis, you need to take the plunge and yep. be a member. And here's how you do that. We've got slides up. We have it in the bulletin. I mean, it's really across our campus trying to make that accessible, right? We don't want there to be any roadblocks.
Yeah.
to joining the church.
Yeah. And then the last piece, other practical way, is we've got out in our lobby, we've got something called a connection center. It's just a desk where people can ask questions or whatever. The volunteers there are super savvy with our church website. Anybody that comes up to them, they've talked to me about this enough where if somebody comes up and says, hey, I want to be a member, they'll start talking to them, asking them questions. They can show them on the website how they get more information about membership and those kinds of things. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, for the size of church we are, I think we actually know each other pretty well. And so I think pretty much everybody that's been here anytime at all knows that I do membership stuff. And so they'll just come find me, you know, in between services. Hey, man, this guy has questions about membership. He wants to talk to you. All right. And I'll either talk to him then or set up a meeting or get an email or whatever, and we'll figure it out, yeah. you know. But trying to just keep it in front of people, I think you're right, is important.
Right. Yeah. So that's getting your foot in the ground or yep. foot in the door.
Yep.
You have filled out this application and you filled it out well. Yep. It's really.
No, so let me say one more thing about that, because we talked about, you know, this is how we do it, right? Trying to think principles. If you're not in a church like ours and the size we are, what do you do? Well, what you're trying to do here is you're trying to get information from the person who wants to be a member. Again, you should, as a church, you should have already given them all the information they need, hopefully, by having your doctrinal statement or all that stuff available. Again, whether it's paper copies or on the internet or whatever, they should know who you are. And now you're trying to figure out who they are. And again, you're not trying to pry and really get details more than you need. This isn't gossip hour, but rather you're just trying to figure out who are they and what is their testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's all you find out, that's a good start, right? And we'll talk in a little bit about doing an interview, and maybe this is the application interview kind of go together more in your process. That's fine. But you need to be able to say, hey, I actually, as a leader in this church, know this person well enough to affirm their membership here, right?
Yeah, that's super helpful. So that's phase one, right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of part one. So if we move into phase two, or part two of this entire membership process, we have attend the membership class, which is a three-week cohort, yep. three consecutive Sundays where we offer this membership class or course. You could say it's about an hour and 15-ish or yep. so minutes. But why is this part of our process? Have we always done this?
Right.
You just tell me the whys of this three-week
yeah.
class.
Yeah, let me set it up for you, and then I'll let you kind of walk through the classes, because I know you've taught them as much as I have. So the class, we typically meet about once a quarter. So I usually run a class in January, another one in April, summer, fall, right? And that gives people enough opportunity. You know, it doesn't take you 2 years to wait for a membership class, but it's also not every week. And, you know, I'm in there every week of my life teaching membership. So 3 weeks at a time, about once a quarter, like you said, yeah, about an hour, a little over an hour, hour 15, mm-hmm. Each one of those sessions. And we'll talk about what we teach in each of those sessions. But when I came on staff here, we were a smaller church, we had less people, and we were doing kind of a one-stop shop membership class. It was one time, I think it was an hour and a half or whatever, but it was one time. And we just found we were one, cramming in too much information into that one class, and two, we weren't getting all the information we wanted to in that class. And so by separating it out into 3 weeks, we are able to, you know, adequately, not, you know, exhaustively, but adequately deal with some of the things we want to deal with. We'll talk about in a minute. The other thing that helps us is we do it during the Sunday school hour at church. So we already have childcare set up. We've already got a room set up. We can pull in some coffee and some donuts or whatever from the other buildings, and we're already there. And we're not creating this whole another event trying to get membership class done. It's just in the life of the Sunday morning, you know, hustle and bustle up here. Right.
Right. And I appreciate what you said there, is that the membership class isn't a replacement for corporate worship, no. Right? So we strategically offer the classes and sort of rotate the time of the classes where it doesn't conflict with corporate worship, right? Mm-hmm. So what we aren't saying is that you need to have sort of a side class that's simultaneous to corporate worship, right?
Yeah. And No. I would say if I was talking to a pastor that was going to start doing something like this in his church, I would encourage him, do not do that, right? Do not replace your corporate worship with anything, but especially not membership class. You're trying to teach them how to be a good church member and you're going to cancel worship, right? No, rather, have them come early or stay late or whatever you got to do with your schedule to make sure they can do membership class and then be a part of corporate worship in addition, right?
Yeah, that's right. So before we get into just talking about what content we work through in each of the 3 weeks. Just on a practical side of things, again, you oversee membership here at Countryside, and I'm able to fill in for a variety of reasons. So I've been down in there in the mix, and I understand sort of the culture, the buzz that's down there. But you've also tried to incorporate the elders and Pastor Tom and others to come down there to get involved. So it's not, hey, show up to membership class and talk and hang out with Joshua, but it's really a collective idea. This is the church being the church. The elders will come down, and Pastor, you go ahead and talk about that because you see it a little bit more than me.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And I think, you know, when we first, you mentioned at the beginning, you and I kind of, you know, brainstormed this process 5 years ago when the elders asked us, hey, we really want to, you know, fill out our membership process, make it a little more robust than it was. And so we came up with kind of this pattern we're in now. Well, even then we talked about, we want this to be the kind of thing where the elders and pastors, you know, here can, they can be involved as much or as little as they want to be and kind of work that out. One of the ways we've done that is, you know, you and I kind of wrote the curriculum, if you will, for the classes, which means that I can teach it. I can hand it to you and you can teach it, but I can also hand it to any one of our elders and they're qualified to stand up and teach it as well. So that's helpful. And so we can rotate that in if we need to. But the other thing we do, and this is just more kind of, you know, informal and practical, is at least once a quarter, right? So with one of those 3 week cohorts, I invite Pastor Tom and all the elders to just come to the class. They don't have to stay for the whole time, but just to come at the beginning when everyone's just kind of getting there and getting their coffee. Hey, hang around, talk to people, get to know them, shake hands, and then, you know, maybe build some relationships there. And then during the third week of class, I always do is we always walk through who our elders are at the church so that they get, you know, if nothing else, the people in membership class get to know who they are and they can start identifying the elders when they meet them at different events or worship or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's extremely helpful. Even just going back to, you know, what you're talking about in terms of the content that we work through, yep. and all of that, which we're about to get into. But we've got a specific curriculum that we built that's really shaped and fashioned off of the scripture and then conformed to our philosophy of ministry,
yep.
here at the church. But we offer that not only in a printout for everybody taking the class, we have that in notes version that, mm-hmm. you know, you and I use. We've got those things set up in terms of PowerPoint presentation. Yep. So there's really there's a total package. Again, we're not saying that you have to do that, right? There's no chapter verse on those things. But what we have done is we have put together a body of information to be able, in one sense, when you are gone and when I am gone, that can now be passed down to the next generation. And maybe there can be some fine-tuning and tweaking to that, but we've got this body of content of information, if you will, this curriculum to help us navigate through the membership process, no matter the time and really no matter the person who's teaching it, although we prefer pastoral staff or elder, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I think the what you're going to get to if you don't have something, and again, like you and I said, like it doesn't have to be that structured and formal, but you don't want to swing the pendulum the other way. And, you know, hey, you're a pastor in a small church and you've got a guy who's kind of in a part-time associate role and man, you really can't handle teaching membership class this month. You need him to do it. And the only direction you have for him is, hey man, week one, make sure you talk through doctrine stuff. And then week two, talk about how people get signed up to serve in kids ministry and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, if that's all you're giving somebody, man, the difference between you teaching the class and your guy teaching the class is going to be totally like that is not even the same experience, right? Whereas with what we have, and again, we add our own flavor to it. I know when I teach it, it's different than when you teach it, but we've got, this is the content mm-hmm. that needs to get covered. And we've decided what's going to be taught in week one, week two, week three, so that we're not overlapping. And I come in week two to take over for you. And I repeat everything you just said the last week. You know what I mean? Like we need to have some kind of a clarity on the content of what we're actually teaching through, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Again, this is why I'm grateful we're recording this episode that lets us sort of flesh out the practical aspect of this church membership process. So yeah. So now we've got the three-week cohort, right?
Yep.
We've been talking about it. So what do we actually work through
yep.
week by week? You kick us off here with week one.
Yeah, so I'll mention it and you can comment. So week one, we start out with, a video where, a video we recorded, this is years ago, I guess, me and Pastor Tom, and I just asked him some simple questions about membership. Honestly, stuff we've been talking about these three episodes and kind of let him articulate his answers on those. One of the reasons is we do, like I said, we do membership class during our Sunday school hour, but that's during one of our corporate worship services. So normally Tom is preaching while I'm doing membership class and then we swap, right? And so he doesn't get the chance necessarily to be in membership class the whole time teaching membership class. And so I wanted him to have some kind of participation there. So we recorded the video. And then after that, we talk a little bit, kind of what we talked about in the last, especially episode one of why we do membership and what the definition of that is. Get into a little bit of what we did in the part two of, the benefits of membership and why, the requirements, all those things. But then most of class one, this is probably, again, if we're doing an hour 15, man, it's probably 50 minutes of it at least, is just really quickly overviewing our doctrinal statement. And again, I'm going to say this and people are just going to turn the podcast off, but I think our doctrinal statement is 17 or 18 pages printed out, right? And it's super in depth. It's robust. It's very clear on what we believe and teach here at Countryside. And we give that to people, but I also want to at least overview it in class to where people have an opportunity either to ask questions or just to know kind of how we explain it in real life, you know? And so again, walking through that, we don't get to everything in the doctrinal statement, no way, but it's just a really brief summary of the big picture pieces of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So that's week one.
Yep.
Moving into week two, what we have mapped out there, it begins with, well, actually, let's back up. You give homework assignments, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. So at the end of week one, after I pray and dismiss them, tell them they have to go and reread the doctrinal statement that we just taught through. Again, they don't have to read every comma, right? But just skim read it, make sure that they understand. And then I tell them to highlight anything, you know, they have questions about or whatever, so that either they can ask me in class or when they get to their interview, they can deal with those.
There we go. So we come back week two. We sort of open the floor for any questions that anyone might have after yep. they completed that homework assignment. Then we move into the distinctives, which are two distinctives at Countryside, are a high view of God and a high view of Scripture. And so we lay the foundation with those two doctrines, those two distinctives, and sort of the practical implications that mm-hmm. flow out of that. Which is, I mean, it's rapid fire, right? Just like yeah, with the doctrinal statement the week before. So after you get done with the distinctives, we move into the church constitution, everybody's favorite part of yeah. the membership
That's why they
process.
Sign up, man.
But give me a list of sort of what you work through when you talk through the Constitution?
Yeah, so we do Constitution and bylaws. And when we wrote the curriculum originally, we kind of just mixed and matched and just pulled in pieces of what each one we needed to cover in the class. Again, we're not trying to cover everything. You know, we talk about our leadership structure, how we have elders and deacons here. We talk about kind of the general biblical understanding of that and requirements for that. Talk about how we do business meetings, how we do elder meetings, you know, just kind of some simple things like that. And then at the end, we end up talking about membership voting. We, you know, we are an elder-led church here, and so our elders make the vast majority of decisions either, you know, in their elder meetings or delegated to other ministry leaders. But then there are a handful. I think there's three exceptions we have in our documents where we ask the congregation to vote in affirmation of what the elders recommend. And so we talk about that. And then the last section of the Constitution and bylaws, we actually walk through a biblical understanding of church discipline, because that relates, like we said in the last couple episodes, to getting your membership terminated potentially if you're someone who's walking in unrepentant sin and has to go through the church discipline process. We talk about what that looks like. But yeah, again, just some of those more practical, you know, this is how we do life here. You know, week two almost always gets tons of questions. Hey, do you guys do this? How does this work? You know, how often does this happen? Things like that. And those, you know, those are the fun things, man. Get to really just talk about the life of the church in context with those people that are trying to join, right?
Yep, that's great. And homework assignment for week two?
Yep, same thing. Reread the Constitution and bylaws. We print those out in their membership manual. And again, same thing. You know, if you find a missing, you know, typo, you can tell me if you want, but no big deal. Otherwise, just kind of go through. And if you have major concerns or questions, make a note so that we can talk about them later.
Yeah, that's great. So week one and week two are really the foundation, sort of the framework. Here's what we do at Countryside, right?
Yep.
Here are the guardrails even that we put up. But when you get to week three, class three, that's when it becomes really practical.
Yes.
Really boots on the ground. So we start that class by one, opening the floor for any questions, really maybe anything that's come up over the last week or two in the homework assignments related to those classes. So after that, we move into the essentials of the Christian life, right? And speaking of the essentials, actually our church conference in February 2025 is on the six essentials of the Christian life. You want to speak about that?
Yeah. So, you know, our elders over the years have talked about the essentials of the Christian life. So you've got Bible study, prayer, evangelism, fellowship, worship, and service. And we just see these six essential activities of a Christian. Every Christian should be involved in these things in some way or another. And so, yeah, so we're going to have a conference, talk through those things, have some teaching on those. But more practically with our membership class, we just walk through those with the people in our church and say, hey, these are the things that the Bible says every Christian should be involved in. How are you doing with them? And just know that as a part of our church, we're going to be calling each other, encouraging each other to be doing these things, right?
Yeah, that's great. So we've got the essentials of the Christian life. And then we shift gears to talking about church leadership. So during that time, we're talking about the elders, who they are, what ministries that they are directly connected to. We also talk about the pastoral staff and the ministries that they oversee. And then we talk about the deacons of the church, the specific ministries that they lead, right? That's one of the aspects of our deacons that we really highlight. Not only do they meet the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, but they actually serve in a leadership role, leadership capacity. So why are we spending time showing people pictures of elders and talking and deacons and what they do?
I don't know how you do it. I usually just flip the website up and click on the leadership page and just kind of scroll through and talk about the guys there, you know, and then the staff ladies as well. But yeah, I think there's two reasons. One is, you know, we are a bigger church than some, and so it would be very reasonable for some of the members, people come into membership class, they haven't met all these people. So I just want to highlight and point out, hey, here's this person. So when you see them, you'll know who they are. I think that's helpful for someone to be a member of the church, to know who the leadership is. That's important, right? But then also, I think it's also just gives them some clarity on, you know, some of the different ministries that these people are connected to and how they can get involved. If they, oh, if I have a question, I can talk to that deacon, I can talk to that elder, I can talk to that staff person or whatever, and just gives them some more information that they might not have if they haven't met all these people yet, right?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. So moving through leadership, we now work into the ministries of the church, right? And yep. With this one, you could have another week, you know, spending time talking about all of the ministries, at least here at Countryside, that people can get involved with. Now, of course, like we've already mentioned, we're just looking for principles here, right? We have several dozen ministries in God's providence, and in His kindness, that's what He's built here. Yep. But other churches may only have a few ministries. The number doesn't matter. The point is that you are wanting these new members to not only identify their giftedness, but like use it.
Yeah.
Find ministries where you are gifted or you are interested or you would like to serve.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, you need to know what we have here. So we spend a good chunk of time working through the different ministries of the church. And what I find to be really practical, even maybe more so than all of them listed on our website, is we have a handout that we give away at the ministry fair, and we have here on site of all the ministries, like name of the ministry, description of the ministry, and who to contact.
Yes. And I think, you know, when I'm talking through that part with them in class, I'm really emphasizing two things. One is, you know, you probably need to be involved in a ministry where you are getting poured into, right? You are enjoying the fellowship, you're getting the teaching, you're doing whatever. And then it may be the same ministry, but you also need a place where you're pouring out, where you're using your giftedness to serve other people. And so try and get people connected to some kind of a fellowship ministry, some kind of a serving ministry. And again, those might overlap. You might be doing the same thing where, you know, you're bringing snacks to your home fellowship group. Well, you're kind of doing both at the same time, right? But if not, trying to get them connected to those. And like you said, yeah, we've got the printouts, got them on our website. Again, trying to be more transparent and accessible. I don't want people thinking, oh man, I've been here 5 years, I didn't even know we had this ministry. You know, I want it to be out there. And then I usually take that chance. You know, we always have needs in some ministry, one or another. And so usually use that chance to say, hey, we're really looking for guys to serve in this way, really looking for some ladies to serve in this way, really need some couples to serve in this way. You know, if you can, if that's up your alley, we'd love to see you do that, right?
Right.
It's so a good plug.
Yes. It's super, super intentional, right? Yeah. I mean, we're not doing this to burn time or to fill up the, you know, the second to last segment in the membership class. No, we really want you to do what the New Testament says and to use your giftedness. And here are some ways for you to get involved. So to finish up week three, how do you finish up the week three class?
So last piece we got to talk about is if they're going to work in any of the ministries that connect them to young people, to minors, we have a child protection policy. They've got to read through the policy manual. They've got to get background checked to be approved to serve with minors at Countryside. You know, I say in class, I say to a lot of people, everyone understands how tragic it is that we have to have that clear of a process, but we need to have that both to protect the kids in our church, to protect our volunteers from accusation. We can say we vetted them and all those things, but we need to have that in place. And so we explain how that works. And then the last piece of the class, I usually try and end 5 minutes early if I can, never happens, and say, I need you to sit down and fill out this last form. It looks like the membership application, but it's just a couple pages, and it's, hey, where are you thinking about serving? Are you already involved in serving? Are you already involved in any fellowship groups, whatever? And then I ask them to affirm, hey, we've taught through the doctrine. Do you have questions, or do you affirm the doctrinal statement? Do you affirm our distinctives? Do you affirm our constitution bylaws? We have three options. A is I agree. B is I don't know. And C is I do know that I disagree in some way. And so again, if they check B or C, it's not necessarily a deal breaker. I just need to know what that is. They can leave me a comment or whatever. And then when we get to the interview with one of the elders, then they can sit down and work through those issues. The very last piece of that paper is, do you know any of the elders that you would like to interview you? And that way, if someone's already in a class with one of the elders, they already have a relationship with them, I don't need to set them up for an interview with somebody totally new. they can sit down with that guy after Sunday school and work through the application, do their membership interview, and call it a day, right?
Yeah, that's great. So that segues us into really the third phase or the third step of membership. So after you've applied, after you have attended the three-week cohort, next, and this is where you ended, there is an interview with someone on the leadership team, you know, most likely elders or pastoral staff.
Yep.
But explain to me what this third step is.
Yeah. So basically, after that class, I'm going to get all the applications finalized and everything, and then I'm going to start assigning them based on those preferences to some of the elders and pastoral staff here. And, you know, I'm going to send, hey, you know, this couple's name to one of our elders. Hey, this person's requested to be interviewed by you. Can you meet with him? The elders will get back with me really quick. Hey, yes, happy to do that, whatever. Once I get those kind of coordinated, then I leave it to the elders to do that. The elders take that, you know, whoever I assign to them, I give them the application so they can read through whatever those folks have said. And then they set up a time. So they give a call to those people. Hey, you know, why don't you stay after Sunday school this next week? Hey, why don't you come to my house? We'll do dinner on Thursday night. Hey, why don't we meet out for coffee this week? Whatever. They set it up. They organize it between the elder and the people they're interviewing. That takes off my plate that I don't have to set up membership interview times, but it also just really puts them in the game together, so they're working those things out. And then once they actually get there, sit down, talk to them, you know, for us, I've got young kids. We usually just have people up to the house. Hey, come up for, you know, eat dinner, eat dessert, whatever. And we'll hang out and talk. And there's a few things I'm trying to get through in that membership interview. It doesn't have to be super long. You know, we're there an hour. That's great. You know, but I want to hear their testimony, at least the 5-minute version of it. I don't need to hear the 4-hour version of it, but I want to hear your testimony articulated, even though I've got it on the paper. But then I also want to ask, hey, do you have any questions or concerns either from the class, the doctrinal statement, distinctives, all those things, or just in the church? Hey, you've been here a few months, you've been interacting. Do you have any concerns about how the church is going, or, you know, your connection or whatever? And then usually by the end of that interview, I'm asking them, okay, what Sunday school class are you going to go to? What home fellowship are you going to be a part of? What serving ministry are you going to sign up for? Because again, membership is a commitment. It's a two-way street, right? And so I don't want to get through the membership process. They do all this work and then they just kind of coast and don't get connected, right? By the end of that, we're really making the commitment to, all right, what are we doing now?
Right. And the goal, and you've made this clear, so I'm just recapping here. The goal isn't to find ways to keep you from being a member at Countryside, right?
Yeah,
it's not an interrogation. It's not trying to probe in such a way, like a pharisaical, you know, sort of legalistic type of way. No, we're wanting to get to know you because we care about you.
Yeah.
You know, our Lord has redeemed you and called you and potentially brought you to Countryside so you could be a member here and to serve here. You're part of the body, right? So the goal is to see this thing through. Which brings us to step number 4, the final phase.
Yep.
This is it. You've completed the other 3 steps. Walk me through what happens to conclude this process.
Yeah, so the 4th step is going to be the membership introduction. The one key that has to happen in between 3 and 4. So, you know, you and I, we do membership interviews, have somebody up to the house, we do dinner, we talk through the membership interview. At the end of that night, I go on our website, on our back end, I sign a form that says I'm in leadership here and I approve this person for membership. I take all those forms, and the next time the elders meet on a Thursday night, I take that list of people, I get their pictures off our website, say, hey, this is who we're approving, pass it around to all the elders, hey, does anybody have any concerns? And if not, the elders officially vote, approve these people for membership, we put it in the minutes, and it's done. I send out some kind of a communication, usually just an email to those people. Hey, your membership's been approved. And then what we do is an introduction. And so at our Sunday evening service, at the end of our service, after we do our music and our teaching and all that, Pastor Tom will stand up. I give him some notes on who's getting introduced. We put up a little PowerPoint presentation with their picture and their name and all that. And then he just calls their name. Hey, you know, Bob Smith is joining. He's been attending here for 1.5 years and moved here from California. And, you know, he works in finance, whatever. And just whatever details we know about them, we put it together and then flash that up on the PowerPoint screen so the congregation can see them. You know, Bob will stand up in the back and wave so everybody connects the face with the name. And then Pastor Tom reads the next one and we go through. I mean, it's rapid fire. We're reading. He's probably covering 20, 30 people, you know, in a couple minutes, right? But what that does is gives an opportunity for the church to actually know the people that are joining our church, getting an opportunity to fellowship with them. And then after we're done with that service, we immediately finish and we go down to, you know, the fellowship hall or the gym or whatever, have some ice cream, some cookies, some coffee, whatever we can find, scrounge up, you know, if the ladies do a good job of making sure we're fed, right? But just giving us a chance to get to know these new people and getting them connected with some real relationships, right?
Right. So that's the practical process.
That's it.
Right. That's the practical process. Up front, it takes a little bit of legwork to get it going and get it in motion. But once it's up and running and there's sort of a repetitious nature, there's a cadence to it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pretty smooth process to be able to take people from point A to point D. It gets them in the door, and then it takes it all the way to completion, to borrow a Philippians 1 sort of Pauline expression there. But I appreciate you walking us through the practical side of the process. You know a lot more of the nuances than I do, and I hope that I hope that the timeless principles that we've alluded to are able to be extracted from what we've said and be helpful.
And I guess on that, I would just say, you know, we've got this four-step process, right? We've got the application, the class, the interview, and then the introduction. Boiling it all down. I mean, get rid of everything we just said. What do we really got to get done? We need to know something about the person who's applying. We need to hear their testimony and find out where they came from and what they're doing here, how they want to get involved in the church. They need to know something about the church and not just what's on the, you know, the sign outside, but man, what do we actually believe and teach here? How do we actually set up our stuff, constitution, bylaws, all those things. And then we need to introduce them to the church once the elders have approved their membership officially. And so again, take away all the things that we do here in our class and our structure and all that stuff. If you know them and they know you, and then you can approve them and introduce them to the congregation, that's what you're trying to get to, right?
Yeah, that's helpful. And I think that wraps up our three-part series on church membership. Let me say that the documents that we are talking about and the documents that we've made and that we use and all of those things, I think we want to be able to make those available if anybody listening to the podcast wants to use them as a template, you know, maybe to get the ball rolling at your church. So feel free to reach out to us. My email address is lance@countrysidebible.org.
Yep, I'm joshua@countrysidebible.org.
Yeah, and we would love to help in any way possible. Joshua, thanks for coming on to the podcast. The last three episodes, I think it's been helpful, fruitful. It's been encouraging for me just to think through the process again and those realities, and I hope that it's helpful for other churches down the road. And look forward to having you back on the podcast soon.
Yeah, man. I love church membership. I love the church. I love Christ. And this is a good fit for me. I like talking about this. So whenever you need, I'll be your guy.
Amen.